Hi, welcome to Marvelous Mysteries, the podcast. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Jaden.
And we're going to read to you mysteries we found this week, but first we'll start off with icebreakers or questions, whatever, that we find. Okay, so the first question is kind of weird. Have you ever eaten an entire pizza by yourself? And if you have, what are the circumstances? Like when and where?
Like what size pizza we're talking about? Like how, just like the regular like medium sized ones or?
Like any, like what's a large, have you ever had a large pizza by yourself?
Probably not. But I mean like there have been times where I've had like at least half.
Okay, that's.
For like a large probably, but.
That's like 4 pieces of pizza.
Yeah. I've had or like 5 or 6 pieces of pizza once before.
Okay. It depends on what pizza place, but I think a large is either 8 or 10. Depending on how they cut it, but,
it depends on how hungry I am, which is often, but I feel like most of the time I can at least eat quite a bit, but it also depends, like you said, what kind of place it is, because certain places, like, there's this place called Sir Pizza, it's delicious, and, like, you can, it's kind of like you keep eating, and you don't really feel how full you are until you stop, so, like, in that case.
Yeah, I've definitely had pizza. There's, like, a little pizza place, like, from, like, there's only, like, one of it. It's, like, from the town I, like, grew up in. It's just, like, a little, like, local thing. Mm-hmm. And I used to work there, too, and I've eaten a whole pizza there by myself, for sure. Probably, maybe a large. Like, we used to get, 2 smalls for my family because, like, they had these deals. And 2 smalls is more pizza than 1 large. It was, like, 2 smalls for, like, $14 or something like that. And so we would just do that. And, I mean, I would eat, like, entire small, but that's like nothing. It's like a personal pizza. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then there's like Blaze Pizza, where it's like those are kind of personal. I've definitely eaten all of those.
And so I've had like the ones that are like when you can build your own, and they're kind of like the smaller ones.
Yeah.
About, like I've definitely had like a full one of those.
Yeah. But... I've made pizza like at home too.
Yeah.
That I've eaten like the whole thing, but usually I don't use cheese on those, so that makes it a lot easier just to eat an entire pizza. Okay, this way. Okay, so what is your favorite book, like, ever?
Ooh, that's a difficult question. I need time to think.
My favorite book ever that I've ever read. I'm trying to think of a book I could read again and again. I really loved Pride and Prejudice.
I haven't read that yet. I have the book, but I keep forgetting that I have it.
I have it. I really liked that book. There's another one too. Like, I think I read one in school that I really loved. Then now I can't remember. I mean, I really loved, like, To Kill a Mockingbird and stuff like that.
I actually loved that, like, more than I thought I would. Because I had to read that in school.
Yeah.
And, like, I actually enjoyed it because a lot of the books that we read in school I absolutely hated. Mm. But, like, that was, like, one of the exceptions. I was like, okay, I actually kind of like this book.
Yeah, I really like that. There's, But yeah, Pride and Prejudice is good. I could probably read that several times. I guess I would say that is my favorite, like, besides series.
Right. The only thing I can think of is, like, a book series, like, not, like, a individual book.
But I've...
Bible.
It's the Bible. Yeah, my favorite book is the Bible, so you say anything else. But yeah, I like that. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Like, recently, I've read some good books. I've read, like,
I have so many, but, like,
I like I like books, like, I've liked the book Gone Girl, or, like, but I don't know if I would say that's my favorite book ever.
Right. I don't know. I guess, like, because I really like the Percy Jackson series, which I don't know if you've ever read.
Yeah, I've read them several times.
I do, like, yeah, so I do like those, but, like, that's, like I said, like, it's, like, a series. I don't know
you
if there's, like,
say that.
A book... I mean, there's probably, like, one of those books out of, like, all that are in that series that I like more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know which one it would be, really.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously love Harry Potter.
Right.
I read those, like, a lot when I was really young. But
I still have to read them. I got to, like, the 7th.
Oh, you haven't read them?
Well, I got to the 7th book, but, like, I read them so fast, like, I really don't remember much. So, like, I have to reread them. And then my 7th book got water damage. And so now it's all... like, sad looking. I'm like, oh, I'm so, because all the other ones are so pristine looking still.
Oh, mine are old because my aunt gave me her first copies that she bought when I was in 4th grade. And so, like, they're pretty, mine are pretty old, and mine are all hardcovers too. Not all of them, but most of them. Like, one is not. But, but they're, like, in pretty good condition for that. I'm mad because my sister lost the book cover on the fifth book. She's never found it.
Like, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, Lydia. She knows she did it. I don't know what she did with it, but, yeah. And if, my favorite of the Harry Potters is the sixth one, if that matters.
Yeah, I would say if I had to choose, like, my favorite Percy Jackson one, I guess it would probably be, like, the third one, which, for some reason, I can't remember the name of.
I don't remember the names.
The Labyrinth, all those, I think.
This whole story of those kind of blurred together, and I only really remember the first one, because I haven't read them in a very long time,
too. Okay, I want to reread them, because, oh, you know what, actually, I'm going to take back, I do like Percy Jackson, but I do actually, like, same writer, but the King Chronicles, I don't know if you ever read those ones, but, like, the ones, they're like, it was, like, a trilogy, but he wrote them about, like, Egyptian mythology and stuff.
Oh, I read the first one of those.
Yeah, I liked the first one a lot. I'll choose that as my favorite for now.
Okay.
I'm sure I have a different one, but as of now that I can remember.
I know, it's hard because then you're like, have I ever even read a book before?
I have so many.
I know.
So, but I can't, like, remember what books I have.
I know, I've read a lot of books. What's your least favorite book you've ever read?
It's probably one that I read in school. It was, oh, what's it called? I don't remember what it was called, but, like, I'm going to try to explain it as best I can.
Okay.
I don't remember the main boy's name either.
Okay.
But he's, like, the 16-year-old kid who's, like, always in trouble a lot. And, like all the situations he gets himself in are, like...
Was it, The Catcher of the Rye?
Yeah, I hated that book.
I know, all my friends...
I hated it so much.
I didn't like him. My friends are like, he's so funny. I'm like, no, I don't think not. So. He's so irritating to me.
I hated that book. And, like, I hated,
I was gonna say, we read this book, because I was in honors English, so we read books that a lot of people didn't. We read this book...
I wasn't in English, on honors English, and I still had to, like, read it in, like, sophomore year.
Well, that was a book everyone read, but I was, like, another book. I read was called A Brave New World, which I think is, like...
Oh, I never read it, but...
It's supposed to be futuristic and, like, sci-fi, like, a dystopian novel, and, like, I'm sorry if you, like, really like it, but it was just, like, really strange to me, and, like, I know there's, like, all these themes that are really deep and really good, but it's just, like, hard for me to, like, I don't know, wrap my head around and read, and it was at the time, maybe if I read it now, I'd appreciate it more, but at the time, it was, like... It's hard to understand. It was, like, a pain in class, so yeah. I remember that was annoying.
I hated The Catcher in the Rye. I hated the one with the word flies in the title. I can't remember.
Oh, The Lord of the Flies. Oh, yeah. I loved Lord of the Flies.
I hated that book.
I liked it. Sad.
What was another one? I don't know. Pretty much all the books, except for, like, one, maybe two, that we read in school, I absolutely hated.
A lot of them were okay. Like, I didn't mind them. We had to read The Scarlet Letter. That was, like, that's an interesting story, but it's just hard to read. It's very dense.
Oh, also had to read, what is it called, like, it's by George Orwell, but it's, like,
1984. I like that, but I had to read it after I read A Brave New World, too, and a lot of these books, when I read them in high school, I was like, so I would probably like them more now, but,
I didn't like them at all.
I liked it, but I did have to read it after I read A Brave New World, so I was like, this is nice, because the other book was not, I didn't like very much, but... I don't know. It's hard for me not to like a book or not to like something. It has to be, like, really irritating.
It's more just, like, I mean, okay, well, I'm going to say, like, the books, a lot of books I read in school, like, I wouldn't say the writing was exceptional, which I feel like a lot of people were like, it's so great. I'm like, it's really not, personally. But I think it's just, like, the main thing was, like, obviously it's just not my taste.
Yeah.
But then I was, like, forced to read it at the same time, so it was just, like, like a double whammy of, like, hatred.
Yeah. I felt more like I didn't mind because at least I got to read because I was in all honors and AP classes, so I was very, well, it got me nowhere. It didn't help me, like, doing the same thing that, like, people that didn't do, but it made college, like, college is easier for me, but, like, I'm just good at school. That's the only reason I was successful, but, like, I was so stressed out, and I would have, like, hours of homework every night, so I never got to read or, like, got to do anything, really, like, and reading was, like, exhausting almost, you know, because, like, so it was nice to be able to at least just read anything, because I really like reading.
Right,
so.
Well, I get, like, in that circumstance, I get it, but, like, for me, where it was, like, I made sure my senior year not to take any AP classes, because I was, like, I didn't want this stress, I didn't want to deal with it, so, like, my senior year was so chill. I had, like, my main classes I actually need credits for, like, my, like, math and stuff like that,
yeah.
I took online, And then in school was pretty much all art classes.
Yeah, I took...
And that's all. And then, like, I had time for, like, reading my own things, you know what I mean? So, like...
Yeah.
Which is probably why I...
It was rough because I took all these hard classes, and then I was, like, I also had, like, no motivation, but I needed to get an A. And I did well. I got, the only B I got was an AP calculus. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like that's appropriate. I also that's was, fine. like, insane about my grades. Like, I had to get all A's, and I was, like... I, like, cried an entire weekend because I got an A- in honors geometry my freshman year. I cried the whole weekend, and my mom was like, you know, I got, like, a C in geometry. Like, it's okay. And I was like, I'm a failure, too.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Yeah, I did not have the, I'm sorry that you went through that, but I did not have the same mentality.
I don't know.
I got all the grades, A through E before, like, and then, like, as I got, like, older. So, like, freshman year was, like, my worst grades. Sophomore year was a bit better. Junior year, I had, like, A's and B's. And my senior year, I had, like, all A's.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I did have, like, 6 art classes. So, that's probably why it was a lot easier to maintain grades.
I don't know. My sister and I both have that, like, we need to get A's, like, mentality. Right.
Which, like, I understand. But, like, I don't think there's...
I don't know why. Because my parents didn't necessarily, like, enforce that on us. Like, my dad will, like, joke with us. Like, he'll, like, give us, like, kind of, like, give us crap about not getting an A. But it's only because, like, he knows that's what we want. And, like, because, like, both my parents weren't like that in high school or college. Yeah. Like, my dad was, like, yeah, he's, like, in college, he's, like, all I wanted was, like, a 3-point that was good for me. And, like, now, like, if I got a 3-point in a class, I definitely would cry. But, I don't know. I don't know where we got that from. I'm sure she got it from me. But I don't know where I got that from.
Yeah.
Because they weren't necessarily, they were, like, just do well. And I think they were, like, encourage us to do well. But, like, I also, like, forget that, like, a B is a good grade. And yeah. C is, like, an average grade.
I, like, whenever I got a C when I was younger, I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, yeah, yes.
That would be my worst thing.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Once I started.
No offense.
No, you're good. Because, like, once I started getting, like, junior, senior year, when I started getting, like, more. Like, cause, I mean, like, I did get some, like, A's and B's. Mm-hmm. My sophomore year, but I think I still had, like, a C in one class or something like that, and that was probably science, because, like, science is my absolute worst subject. Like, I just don't understand it. But, actually, no, I think I got a B. Go me. Anyways. But, yeah, it's, like, it was one of those things where it's, like, I didn't worry about it, but, like, once I started getting A's, like, I mean, I would still try, right, obviously. So, yeah. I was, like, it does look nice when you have one letter, but at the same time, I was, like, if I get, like, a B in a class, like, I'm not gonna, like, freak out. Like, there's no need for me to, like, get myself all that stress, but I'm like, I know I'm gonna make it through school just fine, you know, like.
Yeah, and I mean, my concern was, like, getting into college and stuff, but, like, the colleges I applied to, like, were not that hard to get into. Yeah. Anyways, like, I didn't try to go to Harvard or anything,
right,
or, like, an Ivy League school, or even, like, a more prestigious state school. I tried to go to, like, pretty easy to get into ones, and then I ended up just going to community college anyways because it's so much cheaper.
Right.
So, okay, anyways.
Anyways.
That was long. Okay, so what's your favorite TV series? That's the next one.
I have a few.
I have, like, so many, but just, like, we could either do, like, just right now or, like, ever.
I'll share, like, okay, I really like, I don't know if you've ever seen it on Netflix, it's just called Sherlock.
Yeah, it's, like, I've the watched. Sherlock
ones. I like those, that series a lot.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of that.
Like, I'd probably, like, say, like, that one just for now. I mean, I have, like, many, like, there are more other mysteries, like Psych and Castle and stuff, which I don't know if you've watched any of those. But
I've actually watched a large amount of Psych, and I've just watched a lot of Castle because you guys have it on a lot.
Oh, yeah, because we have all the seasons.
Yeah, but,
And I have, like, cartoon ones I like, too.
My favorite...
I do this to myself.
My favorite ever is, like, obviously, like, The Office and Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
That I really like, that are not mystery, that are just fun and, like, nice. Yeah.
I like those, too.
Current ones I like that are, like, comedy. I really like, what's it called? Brooklyn Nine-Nine is really funny.
And I haven't seen that one that much.
It's really... You should watch it. It's on Hulu. It's real. Okay. It's, like, The Office vibes.
Right. Like, I saw, like, my brother-in-law watching it once, but I never, like...
It's really funny. And it's, like, it's lighthearted. It's not that bad.
Right.
It's, like, the same as The Office. I like Schitt's Creek a lot. That's really funny. That's over, though, so I don't know if you could say right now. My favorite, like, mystery shows are, like, obviously Criminal Minds, which I love. there's this, it's newer, and I don't know if they're going to make a third season. It's called Mindhunter, which you will not like, because it's,
okay.
It's like, it's basically about the guys that came up with, like, serial killer profiling.
Oh, yeah. But, I like more lighthearted mystery things.
But it's so good. Like, they have, like, Ed Kemper, who is a serial killer, he made all these tapes. The real guys that did it, they have all these recordings of him, and the guy that plays him is really good. He's so creepy. He has those dead eyes. Like, he has, and he, like, just repeats, basically, the tapes. It's, like, so creepy, but so good. And then also, like, here's another, I like The Killing Eve a lot, which, I don't know if you'd like, it's kind of, like, funny, but dark funny.
Okay.
It's also, like, she's an assassin. Like, she's, it's, Sandra Oh, I think, and she's hunting this, like, female assassin, and she's, like, really good, the female assassin, like, and they have this weird relationship with each other, like, they're both kind of obsessed with each other, because she's obsessed with this killer or whatever, the girl hunting her, and then the killer is obsessed with her because she's hunting her, so it's a weird little, but it's really good. And then I really like This Is Us, which is not, like, mystery or anything, it's, like, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I think it's like, well, it's kind of like more of like a drama.
It's kind of a drama. Right? It's just about a family, and it's just really, like, it's, like, makes me, like, very happy all the time, because it's, like, sweet and lighthearted. Not lighthearted, it's, like, heavy stuff that the family deals with, but it's, like, I don't know, it just, like, makes my heart, like, happy, and it's, like, sweet, and I always cry, because it's, like, stuff happens, and, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like it. And this is a long, like, intro, but...
It's fine.
I like a lot of TV shows. I like TV shows more than movies almost sometimes.
Yeah, no, because it's... Yeah,
because
no.
It's nice to keep watching and, like... I don't know. For some reason, a movie seems like a big time commitment, even though, like, I'll watch several hours of a show.
I'll say, I also like... It's called Troll Hunters. It's a cartoon.
Okay.
And they have, like, other series that go along with it, and they're coming out with, like... They have, like, two other separate series mm-hmm. that go along with it that are, like... About, like, it all of it happens in the same town, but they're, like, each series is, like, about a different character, though.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of, like, that's how This Is Us is, a little bit. Different vibes.
Different vibes. And then they're coming out with a movie, I think, this year, where it's, like, all, like, they kind of combine all three of those shows, like, all the characters mm-hmm. in one to, like, fight. I haven't really looked into it. But I would say I like that show, too. I don't know how many people actually do.
I really like...
Expose myself.
I like, shows that really dive into the backstories of characters, because that's one of the most interesting things is, like, someone's life to me, which is why I like This Is Us so much, is, like, and it's probably why I like, mysteries and killers, because it's a deep explanation of, like, someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's just, like, they're, like, it's like they're boring, not necessarily boring, their lives are pretty eventful for, like, a person, but, like, it's just about their life and, like, why they are the way they are today, so they do, like pictures of, or not pictures, like clips, I guess, like flashbacks to when they were kids, and then flashbacks to now, and like a few years ago, and then they have like some future things of what's going to happen. It's just good. I like it. But that's all. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This was quite a long thing. They got started on grades. I'm like, kind of passionate. Like if I have kids, like I will like, I would encourage them to take honors classes and stuff so they're not bored. But I also encourage them not to be, like, how I was. Because I missed out on a lot. I was too hard on myself. And I still have, like, lasting, like, I don't, like, problems because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's just, it just doesn't matter in the end. Unless you want to go to a really prestigious school for,
right.
like, whatever reason.
Like, I feel like a lot of kids that do all that work always end up going, like, they still go to good colleges, I would say. Right, but, like, it's nothing like...
But, yeah, and I have a similar job that someone that didn't work that hard, and not that to say the hard work is wasted or anything, but, like, I didn't need to be that hard on myself and give myself that much, that hard of a time. I mean, I should have studied and done as well as I did, right. but I didn't need to be so mean to myself.
Yeah, my thing
that would be my advice.
Just to try your best, because I'm like... Yeah, that's how my parents were when for school, because I feel like out of all my siblings, I probably struggled. But that's also because I had, like, really bad anxiety for the longest time. Like, up until, like, my freshman year was, like, the worst. And then after that, it started getting better. Which is, like, when my grades started getting better. Because, like, one of the things that was, like, causing my anxiety was, like, because I was constantly worrying about my grades. Like, to the mm-hmm. point where it's, like, I was, like, oh, like, I need to do good on this. But I would stress so much about it that I'd actually do worse.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So.
I would do good. And I know how to study now, which is an important important skill. I mean,
yeah, I didn't get that far until like junior year.
Yeah, it's really hard to learn. And like, but yeah, I just have like a regular job that like, I'm sure the people at my job, you know, didn't like, emotionally damage themselves, you know, over it. But, anyways, sorry.
It's fine.
That's just my like anecdote or like advice. Like, don't be mean to yourself about grades. It's dumb and stupid. Unless you like just slack off, then kind of be like, okay, don't like, do that.
I know we're trying to like move on, but yeah. I just want to share this really quick because I started taking online classes my junior year. And so like, and I would always get ahead in them because like, especially like my senior year, I finished all my classes like 3 months ahead of time. So it was just nice, right? You get them out of the way, like you're done. But I remember it was like my junior or senior year, I was sitting in the library because that's where like you were supposed to go for online classes. And, like, I was just like sitting there doing my work. So the librarian didn't care if I was like doing my actual homework or not, or if I even came in like that early in the morning. She was like, I know you'll do your work. Like, you can even like, because like if you didn't come into school like the hour or two where you're in the library, like you didn't weren't counted as absent or anything like that. It was
right,
just
right.
Like, yeah. Anyways, remember like I was sitting there one day and the kid next to me was like talking to his friend. He's like, I like to wait until, like, the last week to do everything, because then, like, entices me to work, like, it gives me, he's, like, going on, and the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm, like, I'm so stressed for you. Like, why would you ever do that to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I do that to myself. I did that with this story today, my, like, mystery. I did it the last minute, but these, you know, like...
But, like, his was, like, you know, like, 4 months
class,
of work,
yeah.
Like, a whole semester. I'm like, why?
I know. Okay, I think it's your turn to go first. I think did last time, so go ahead.
So mine is it's not a mystery. It's kind of a conspiracy theory, but not.
Okay.
Also, just kind of like me sharing a myth, but
okay,
slash
fine.
Conspiracy theory because I didn't feel like reading about murderers this week. So mine's about Atlantis.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Okay, no, I'll start with this. Okay, so I'm gonna start with kind of like the theories about them, because there's, like, five or six of those, and then I had just, like, some more information kind of about, like, why that may or may not, like, why Atlantis sinking may or may not be true. Anyways. So, the first one is that Atlantis was a mid-Atlantic continent that suddenly sunk into the ocean. So, the idea was that the Atlantis was a historical place, and not just a legend invented by Plato. So, in his 1882 book, Atlantis, Antediluvian world, I think that's how you say it. The writer argued the accomplishments of the ancient world must have been handed down by an earlier advanced civilization, as the ancients weren't sophisticated enough to develop these advances on their own. Assuming the Atlantic Ocean was only a few hundred feet deep, Donnelly, the writer, described a continent of flooded by shifting ocean waters that sank in the exact location Plato had said it did, in the Atlantic Ocean, just outside the Pillars of Hercules, the two rocks that mark the entrance to the Straits of Gibraltar. I'm gonna say I said that wrong. But, and then, long after modern oceanography and greater understanding of plate tectonics poked holes in his shifting waters thesis, and some still decide to cling to Donnelly's theory, but mostly due to its adherence to Plato's placement of Atlantis in the mid-Atlantic. So that was the first one, just kind of, basically it was saying, I don't remember this one that well. Even though I just looked at it last night, like, this first one was, like, I don't know. But basically, it's just saying kind of, like, how, like, a continent could have flooded, right? Or, like, flooded enough to be underwater.
Yeah.
And so that, and then, like, the whole plate tectonics thing, which is shifting, right? Like, plate tectonics is, like, the plates that shift under each other and stuff like that, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know some things about science, but, like, I did not remember geography or physics, whatever that is. That is not my field.
Yeah. Anyways, so that was the first theory. Is that just kind of more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, geography, I guess, affects,
yeah,
rather than...
Yeah, okay.
Okay, anyways. So, the second one was that Atlantis was swallowed up by the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
Yeah, zoom in, my goodness. Okay, one of the writers, that inspired by Donnelly, one of those writers, was Charles Berlitz, who was actually the grandson of the founder of the well-known language schools and author of many books on paranormal phenomena. In the 1970s, Berlitz claimed Atlantis was a real continent located off the Bahamas that had fallen victim to the notorious Bermuda Triangle, a region of the Atlantic where a number of ships had supposedly disappeared under mysterious circumstances. Supporters to this theory point to the discovery of what looked like man-made walls and streets found off the coast of Bimini. Although scientists have evaluated these structures and found them to be natural beach rock formations. Which, I always feel like I have to kind of, like, summarize what I just read. Basically, they're just saying that, like, the streets and everything that they found were, like, is probably not from Atlantis, but...
I do that about, like, when I explain things in real life. I don't know if you've
ever... Because I feel like when I talk, it comes up more confusing, even if I'm reading something off.
Yeah.
So then I'm always like, okay, I kind of, like, summarize.
I do that, too. And it, I think it drives, like, Isaac a little crazy because I, like, just repeat the same thing because at first I'm thinking about it and saying it and then I understand what I said and then I have to summarize it.
Yeah. So number three is Atlantis was Antarctica. So, and this theory is based off or on the work of Charles Hapgood, whose 1958 book Earth's Shifting Crust featured a foreword by Albert Einstein. According to him, around 12,000 years ago, the Earth's crust shifted, displacing the continent that became Antarctica from a location much further north than it is today. This more temperate continent was home to advanced civilization, but the sudden shift to its current frigid location doomed the civilization's inhabitants, the Atlanteans, and their magnificent city was buried under layers of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And Hapgood's theory surfaced before the scientific world gained a full understanding of plate tectonics, which largely relegated his shifting crust idea to the fringes of Atlantean beliefs. I guess, you know, I realized after reading all these, because I kind of, like, glanced them over, because I did this kind of last minute, but, like, all these, like, here's a theory, it's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah. That's okay.
So number four is the story of Atlantis was a mythical retelling of the Black Sea Flood. So this theory presumes Atlantis itself was fictional, but the story of its demise was inspired by an actual historical event, the breaching of the Bosporus by the Mediterranean Sea and its subsequent flooding of the Black Sea around 56 BC. At the time, the Black Sea was a freshwater lake, half its current size. Flooded civilizations known to flourish along its shores with hundreds of feet of seawater in a short period of time. As inhabitants of the region scattered, they spread tales of the deluge and may have led thousands of years later to Plato's account of Atlantis. Number five is Atlantis is a story of the Minoan civilization, which flourished in the Greek islands Circa? Is that how you say that word?
Sure.
2500 to 1600 BC. Island of Thera, in an eruption that may have been created tidal wave destroying. Oh, sorry, I'm reading the thing. So one of the more recent Atlantean theories concerns the civilization that flourished on the Greek islands of Crete and Thera more than 4,000 years ago. The Minoans, named for the legendary king Minos, the Minoans are the ones that lived there. believed to be Europe's first great civilization, the Minoans built splendid palaces, constructed paved roads, and were the first Europeans to use a written language. At the height of their power, however, the Minoans suddenly disappeared from history, an enduring mystery that has fueled belief in a link between this great doomed civilization and Plato's Atlantis. Historians believe around 1600 BC, a massive earthquake shook the volcanic island of Thera, triggering an eruption that spewed 10 million tons of rock, ash, and gas into the atmosphere. Tsunamis that followed the eruption were large enough to wipe out Minoan cities throughout the region, a devastation that may have made the Minoans vulnerable to invaders from Greek mainland. So number six is Atlantis didn't exist at all. Plato invented it, which is probably true.
Okay.
It'd be cool if it was real, but it's probably true. Anyways, most historians and scientists throughout the history, their history have come to the conclusion that Plato's account of the lost kingdom of Atlantis was fictional.
Mm-hmm.
According to this argument, the Greek philosopher invented Atlantis as his version of an ideal civilization and intended the stories of its demise to be a cautionary tale of the gods punishing human hubris. No written records of Atlantis exist outside of Plato's dialogues, including any of the numerous other texts that survive from ancient Greece. Furthermore, despite modern advances in oceanography and ocean floor mapping, no trace of such sunken civilization has ever been found. It probably doesn't exist. Be cool if it did.
Yeah.
Same. So that those were like the six theories, and then I have kind of like a bit more information about people who have actually like looked into whether or not Atlantis was real. Hold on, I'm getting water. You know, but they don't.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard for me to talk today.
Well, we're doing this in the morning instead.
Yeah, usually we do it at night. My voice is still kind of like, So, a popular idea is that the Atlantis myth is associated with the fate of Thera, which is now the Greek island of Santorini.
Okay.
I feel like I said that wrong, but I don't think I did. Oh, which was partly destroyed by a volcanic eruption around 3,600 years ago. But many, if not most, scientists think we will never tie Atlantis to a real location. But Atlantis is not the only legend of a sunken city. Similar tales are told around the world, and it seems like some of them might be true. Plato was living in a volcanically and tectonically active part of the world where massive earthquakes and tsunamis were not unusual. So, let me find who this man is. So Patrick Nunn, who's a geologist at the University of Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia, said, and this is a quote, he observed what was going on and he used details from these observations to make his narrative about Atlantis sound more credible, he being Plato.
Okay.
But I think there's no way that we could consider Atlantis as a particular place. Despite Nunn's skepticism about this ill-fated kingdom, he is one of a growing band of geologists who have begun to take an interest in similar myths in the belief that some really can shed light on the ancient geological events. Sorry, I'm skipping over some information because it's not important. But, so Nunn actually heard of the story of another lost island, Nemanu, in the Solomon Islands of the South Pacific, and he was intrigued. He said, it was high land. It wasn't a low atoll or reef island just made of sand that could be easily washed away. It was a substantial island that disappeared. Oh, sorry, I have a hair on my hand. And so they're talking about how, like, waves can't wash away islands, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
And, like, most of these islands that were high and volcanic. So he, I think this is, double checking. So the island of Teonimanu, however I said that before, there was like the story about it was a husband, his wife went to live with another man on the island of Teonimanu, and it enraged him, and he had a curse made, like a wave curse, there it is, to seek his revenge and travel to the island, so like the waves would kind of like crash and destroy the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Nunn interprets the waves in the story as a description of a tsunami train. Many tsunamis consist of a series of waves, but of course waves wash away islands, particularly islands that are high in volcanic, Nunn says. So they're thinking that maybe it was actually a seafloor earthquake that geologists believe took the island, which had always teetered on the edge of a steep undersea slope. Once the tremor shook the foundation, a large landslide carried Tiananmen underwater, which likely generated tsunami train in the process. And so Nunn says, well, first, so for the people that survived and lived to tell the tale, the waves and the island destruction are linked. So he says that, Nunn says, so you actually get the island subsiding or sinking abruptly at the same time as waves are generated. For an uninformed observer, of course, it's logical to connect the two in thinking mm-hmm. that, like, the waves destroyed the island and not, like, earthquake at the same time. So this is kind of what the last bit that I highlighted was important. So, like, another kind of, there was, by the way, what I just read, there's, like, more on it. I just didn't want to go too much into it because, mm-hmm. like I said, it's probably not real that Atlantis yeah. exists. So kind of, like, another theory, I guess we could call it, is that huge masses of ice started to melt and pour waters into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And Nunn says that if the sea level is rising and you have these kinds of extreme waves superimposed on a rising sea level, then clearly one day those waves are going to have an effect that they wouldn't have if the sea level wasn't rising. And, like, so they thinking that people must have been aware that every year the sea was on the rise, but as temperatures rose, huge masses of ice started to melt and pour waters into the world's oceans during the next 13,000 years. Or during the next 13,000 years, sea levels gradually rose to reach their current levels. So they're just saying, like, also that could be a contributing factor.
Okay.
That's why, like, an island could, like, just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, like, the sea levels are rising or anything like that.
Okay.
That's kind of it. Like I said, yeah. It wasn't that long. I wish it was real.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. You don't know.
Yeah.
Also, can I just say really quick, because I read something about the Bermuda Triangle in this. I feel like the Bermuda Triangle was much more important in school at one point. Did you guys ever talk about that type of stuff?
No.
I feel like it was always mentioned a lot when I was younger. And they made it sound like as if I was going to go in the ocean, then I would get swallowed up by the Bermuda Triangle.
I never learned about it in school, I don't think. I think I more so saw about it on TV. And, on special, like, different little, like, TV specials or something. Or, like, a movie, whatever. I don't think I ever actually learned about it in school. Maybe, like, once. But I guess I don't know where I originally learned.
I feel like I just heard about it a lot.
Yeah. It's like quicksand, which you heard about a lot in shows, but
mm-hmm.
it's not really,
exist.
Not really, well, I think
well, it exists, sorry, that's what I meant, like, I meant, like, it doesn't really happen that much.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as much as they made it sound like it did.
Yeah. Okay, so mine's kind of a murder, but not really. This is a smiley face killer theory, so it's kind of a conspiracy theory.
Is that the...
No.
Oh, okay.
Basically, this is a theory that retired New York detective Kevin Gannon and Anthony Duarte, I think that's how you say it, and Dr. Lee Gilbertson, who is a criminal justice professor and gang expert at St. Cloud University, came up with. So, basically, they allege that there's a number of young men whose dead bodies have been found in a body of water across several Midwestern American states, from the late 1990s to the 2010s. All these deaths are ruled an accidental drowning, but they're saying that they're not, that they were the work of a serial killer. So the term smiley face killer became connected to the alleged murders when it was made public that the bodies, like, where the bodies were discovered, there was a smiley face graffiti nearby. So they think that's, like, the killer's signature.
Mm.
So, it started with the death of Patrick McNeil in 1997. Patrick was a university student who was found floating in the East River in New York City. Police declared his death an undetermined drowning, but Gannon believed that there was a more official ruling. His parents also, like, kind of disagreed, and he vowed to the parents that he would find out the truth about what really happened. So, in the case of McNeil, they found evidence suggesting that he had been, this is all messed up. So basically, McNeil was, like, out drinking, hanging out with friends, and he was, like, then disappeared. And apparently, it says, according to, like, Gannon, they reported finding evidence to suggest that he was killed someplace, then placed in the water. He had intoxication consistent with drugging, and apparently there was a car following him after he left the bar. There was ligature marks on his neck, charring on his head and torso, and the body positioning in the water was inconsistent with drowning. So after Gannon, the original detective, retired, he recruited Durante, I don't know, to help, and they came across a CNN study of suspicious drownings in the Midwest, and then they reached out to Gilbertson. So three guys have referred to the drowning as an epidemic. All these guys that drowned, it's like 40 people, were college-aged white men who disappeared after a night out with friends and were later found dead in local rivers. They believe that they were victims of either domestic terrorist rang, called the smiley face killers, or gang, sorry, not rang, because of those graffiti.
Yeah.
So there's like one case that was ruled a homicide in all of these. So in 2006, a University of Minnesota student named Christopher Jenkins was pulled out of the Mississippi River after a night of bar hopping with friends. His official cause of death was listed as an accidental drowning. And apparently there's a lot of studies of just like got college age guys that are either kind of drunk or whatever that just fall into the river. That's apparently pretty common. But his parents, Christopher's parents, did not accept the official version of events and insisted that there had been foul play involved. But in 2006, an informant came forward in prison and gave police enough information regarding his death, and they changed the cause of death to homicide. So he's the only person out of the 40 that's death is ruled a homicide, but they don't, like, I don't think anyone knows who the informant is or what he said that led that, and I don't know if they can say that. So basically, within all these, the biggest evidence that there's one serial killer killing all these people is the decomposition timelines. So some of the bodies, the decomposition is inconsistent with the period of time the victims are missing, according to Gannon. So for example, Dakota James is one of the 40 missing. He was missing for 40 days, but when they found him, they showed decomposition of only 3 days. And then there's Todd Gieb, who was missing for 21 days, but only showed decomposition for 2.5 days. Gannon has also noted that there was land insects and lividity patterns, and there was a lack of bloating with the recovered remains, which suggests that he died on land that was like thrown into the water. These detectives have also pointed out that there's an occurrence of GHB, which is normally a date rape drug. So normally this drug isn't tested when you do like a autopsy and they do like a toxicology for them. But like they found this in a lot of the victims because the detectives were like looking for it. And so the reason they found it in other victims were because parents specifically asked the coroner to test for it, or Gannon and his partner went and specifically asked for it, or they did it themselves, I guess. So all the victims of this, all these 40 drownings that they found, were athletic, successful students who were well-liked by their peers. The detectives believe that these men were targeted because these are traits that the killer or killers, did not have. The killer was probably not super smart, not good looking, not good at school, maybe unemployed, maybe unpopular. And along with the personality similarities, they were also all found dead after a night of drinking with friends. So, this theory is like kind of, it's not, like, nobody believes it. I guess I didn't know how to say it. A lot of experts have questioned this theory ever since they announced it in 2008. The Center for Homicide Research meticulously countered with an 18-point document that I read, and it lists all 18 points, but basically there's just a lack of physical evidence that there is a killer. None of the bodies were tortured, strangled. There's no physical trauma consistent with assault. The report also says, like, you can't connect that smiley face to the murder scenes because the smiley face didn't share any, like, anything, really. They're just, like, a smiley face, and smiley faces are the most common graffiti in the U.S. And it can't be known that these men didn't administer the drug themselves. I guess they could have given it to themselves. And also, GHB is naturally produced in the body. During the decomposition process, it can release small traces of it. So, and then some of the other points were, like, water. People say water washes away all evidence, but it doesn't. Like, there would still be some sort of evidence that there's a killer. And then that's where the study, they just said, like, there's a lot of accidental drownings just due to alcohol consumption, especially with, like, these college-age guys. They say most experts say the deaths were accidental drownings due to alcohol consumption, which can create effects similar to GHB. So I guess if your body naturally produces it, that's why they wouldn't test for it, and that's why you would find it if they ran it. So criminal profiler Pat Brown said that the theory was ludicrous. She says that the evidence does not fit, like, what they know about serial killers. And she thinks the smiley faces are just perhaps a coincidence. The FBI, like, also has said there's nothing, there's no killer. They said, this is a statement that they released, they said the FBI has reviewed the information about the victims provided by the two retired police detectives who did have dubbed these incidents the smiley face murders and interviewed an individual who provided information to detectives. To date, we have not developed any evidence to support links between these tragic deaths or any evidence sustaining the theory that these deaths are the work of a serial killer or killers. The vast majority of these instances appear to be alcohol-related drownings. The FBI will continue to work with local police in affected areas to provide support when requested. So basically they're saying, like, there's no evidence. Like,
right.
And it's just kind of a stretch, all of this. It's kind of strange, like, the patterns and stuff that they found. Yeah. But, I mean, in the U.S., there's so many people. So I'm sure you would find patterns, you know, if you've looked at it. Anything. Okay, so here are the theories. Obviously, the serial killer, which I just explained. The other theory, which is interesting, is that there's, like, multiple killers. Since some of the drownings, I guess, occurred, like, around the same time but in different states, some people believe that the killers, like, created multiple, like, little cells throughout the U.S. and follow one core leader or core group. Like, it's some sort of gain or call.
Right.
Like, doing the same killings with the smiley face for some reason. There's a gang theory that there is a smiley face gang, and in order to join, prospective members will have to murder someone that the gang chooses. Smiley face gang could be targeting college-age men walking alone after a night of partying because they're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next theory is that they're just drownings, which is probably the most likely one, right? Because if we just look at any, it's easy to find patterns anywhere, I feel like, because we just are naturally designed to look at them. So there are probably a lot of drowning deaths in the U.S. and probably a lot because people were drunk or just fell or whatever, you know?
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of them are, like, college-age guys because they typically college-age guys drink a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And party a lot. And I kind of thought, like that family probably had an impact on the first detective, and so he's, like, determined to, like, make it up to them, you know, that this wasn't an accidental death, it was, like, foul play, which, to, like, maybe to the family that's better, that he didn't just fall in because he was drunk or whatever, or even, I feel like even if you weren't drunk, but you just had been drinking, and you're a little bit out of it, like, swimming would be hard, especially a lot of these seem like large bodies of water where you could easily drown. And then the other thing was maybe the drownings are results of foul play, but they're not part of the smiley face killing. And I guess they said that the smiley face symbol has not been present at every death, so they could be just unrelated cases. So that's kind of like a debunked theory, but it's still kind of interesting. Like, a lot of people have said it's not possible, which I kind of agree with. At first I was like, oh, like, at first I was like, well, this seems kind of weird. But then as, like, if you think about how many people, it's a lot of, like, it's a huge area. Someone made a map of it. It's not, like, just one state or one city, even. It's, like, a decent part of, like, the Midwest, or I don't know if it's the Midwest or, like, East Coast to Midwest. But, yeah. And I think a lot of bodies of water, too, there's, like, graffiti around there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. A lot of, like, near rivers and stuff. I feel like that's where people do a lot of it. So I'm sure there's smiley faces there. But it's kind of interesting. I was going to do, like, the Long Island killer, which is maybe the Craigslist killer. But they kind of found someone. It's, like, unsolved. But I think someone was kind of charged. I was like, no, I just won't want to do that. But then I found this.
Doesn't say that, because yeah, I could see it just being, like, coincidental, right, obviously. Because mm-hmm. I feel like obviously a lot of college-age kids, like, drink and stuff like that. But I could also just see it being, like, one of those things where it's, like, they all have, like, this similar, you said, like, they all have, like, similar, like, athleticism and, like, everything like that. Because I feel like a lot of people that tend to, I don't know, from, like, what you described them as kind of made it sound like they're probably people that were usually probably more worried about their grades and stuff. So I could see them being, like, oh, like, go out drinking to, like, lose kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And then just, like, drink too much and then just, like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you just drink a little bit, even... And, like, I feel like swimming is hard in these, like, probably heavy current areas, you know, like, where it's the first guy found. I forget. But it was, like, in the East River in New York. I don't know for sure. But I'm guessing, like, something like that is, like, has a strong current and you could just drown if you fell in.
Yeah, if it caught you.
Normally, yeah. And you got caught in a bad current. So even imagine just having, like, one, two, even, like, a few drinks, you know, even if you're not drunk or whatever.
Right.
It seems like you could still drown if you're all alone. It's scary because I'm afraid of drowning.
I can't swim, so.
I used to be good, but I don't think I am so much anymore because I used to be on the swim team and I swam a lot when I was little. But,
I can kind of swim. I could probably swim enough to keep myself alive, potentially.
I can only hold my breath for, like, 30 seconds.
I want to teach myself to hold my breath longer.
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah. Like, surfers, you ever see how they train? They do the whole thing where they carry weights underwater and they walk the ocean floor to, like, train themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to not be that scared of the water, like...
Neither did I.
I would jump off the pier and stuff like that, but I think I've just heard too many stories, and now as, like... Like, I'm more aware of, like, the realities of it, but we went to, like, the lake, and it was a pretty decent waves, and mm-hmm. I was just, like, really nervous the whole time. Like, every time we went out in the water, I was like, please do not get, like, swept up by the waves. Like, I was super nervous for no reason. Well, not for no reason, but, like, I didn't used to be like that at all. I was like, you guys should have, like, floaties, or, because we bring, like, inner tubes or whatever. I was like, you guys should have floaties or something, because, like, just in case, like, I'm just really nervous, and I don't know. Or maybe I have more anxiety, which is bad, but also good. I don't know.
Do you remember when we went to Florida, and all five of us walked out into the ocean?
Yeah, I don't like the ocean.
In a steady line, all of us were like, wow, look at that, it's so clear. And they're like, there's one big man on the beach just watching us all freak out how the water was so clear, and then, like...
The water was not clear, though.
I thought it was, because we're like, well, it looks so pretty, and then, like, one of us would be like, oh, I think something just touched me, and then we'd be like, oh, my God!
No, it was not. I like the ocean if the water is completely clear, which in, like, that's, like, in Destin, Florida, which is where I've been before, and, you can see all the fish around you and stuff,
right.
Which I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, I can see these fish. I don't like the fish, but I can, like, at least see that there's not a jellyfish or something.
Yeah.
But I don't like the dark ocean, and I already don't even like the ocean. Like,
I used to love it when I was here. Like, I used to, like, be really into, like, kind of, like, I shouldn't say be into marine biology, but I thought it was interesting. And then at some point, I just developed a fear of sharks in the ocean, and I was like...
Yeah, I'm, like, kind of worried, but I don't think a shark will eat me. I just don't want anything to touch me, and I'm just... I don't like fish. They're kind of gross to me. They freak me out. I don't want it to touch me. I don't know.
Anyways.
But, yeah, so this is kind of debunked, so it's kind of, like, I don't know if it's lame, but it was interesting enough.
It's fine. I did Atlantis.
So... But that's all we have. It's kind of short, like, with our actual topics-wise, but...
I need to, like, get in the habit of being not doing this last minute, because I feel like it would be a lot easier for me to read if I just, like, actually, like, instead of, like, highlighting bits of information, kind of, like, making tiny notes on it, I feel like it'd be better for me if I could actually, like, look at an article and then write down in my own words, right?
Yeah, that's
it, like, kind of, like, an entire thing, which is what I did, like, for the first couple of times, but I just keep doing it, like, on very short notice.
Oh, yeah, that's so what I do. I re-summarize. It's easier, I feel like. Then I write notes of, like, this is strange or whatever. But, anyways, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys or see you guys next week. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. If you want us to do a certain mystery, or if you have a question for us, you can comment on YouTube. You can, the link to Instagram and Twitter should be in our bio, so you can send us a message if you have anything you want us to do. We'll be back next week with some news. Bye.
Bye.